Hey, mama, do you want more time? Do you want more energy? Do you want more peace? I think you said yes to one of those. And if so, then you really want to tune in to today's episode. So this is a long one, but it's so worth it. This is with a good friend of mine. She is a new friend from the program that I'm in right now. And we have a very similar message that's on our heart. And so I know that you, being my person, are going to get so much out of this conversation. So Charlotte is a personal trainer, health and well-being coach, and mom of two small children who runs her own coaching company, helping working moms emotionally self-regulate so that they can be more present and productive and do more of what brings them joy. Does that sound like something you want? I think so. Okay, so listen in. It's going to be good. Let's go. Hey, mama. Okay, do you feel stress on a daily basis that you might just snap at any moment? Do you feel forgetful and flustered running from one thing to the next? Do you feel overwhelmed with all that you have to do? And maybe even anxious on how will you ever get it all done? The day passes and everything looks like a disaster. And you're just sick of it. The to-do lists are everywhere. Nothing seems to be working. You feel overstimulated by everyone and everything. And you're just trying to make it through to the next day. Is this how you're supposed to be spending your time? I'm here to tell you that it all can get better. It can all get better by decreasing your anxiety and finding divine time. There is time out there to be savored and productive and present with your kids and family. There's even time for you. I invite you into the Find More Time workshop. I'm going to show you how to do all of this in a short 45-minute workshop that will be well worth your time. And logistically, if that time does not work for you, that's okay. Sign up anyway, and the workshop replay will come right to your inbox. You can watch on your own time and still be entered into the door prizes. Yes, it's free, but I'm giving away amazing door prizes that will help you greatly with this whole thing of lowering anxiety, lowering your stress level, finding more time and energy. Yes, the door prizes help you with that too. Mama, you can get your mental wellness in check and have more time in your life. You are not a lost cause. This is not a lost cause. You just don't know where to start. So go now to www.theshanwright.com/time. We're going to steal back the time you've been missing. I'm going to help you find that time you've been praying for. And this starts next Tuesday. If you're listening to this on Friday, this is on Tuesday, March 19th. So don't delay anymore. Go right now to www.theshanwright.com/time. I cannot wait to see you there. Hey mama, are you stressed by the lack of time in the day to do all the things? Are you feeling disconnected from God, your husband, and even your kids because patience and presence seem out of reach? Do you want a healthier body, mind, spirit, and home, but overwhelmed in where to start? Hey, I'm Shan Wright, daughter of the king, wife, mom to four, RN, wellness coach, and I know very well what it feels like to want to live well, but about to lose it with my very blessed full life. After realizing I can't pour from an empty cup, I tracked my way to whole body wellness and so much peace. If you are ready to cancel the stressed out life, learn tactical, intentional strategies as a mom wearing many hats, find more peace, confidence, and joy raising kingdom kids, then listen in. Come on, mama, together we got this. Really, God's got this. So go heat up that coffee again and turn your listening ears on. Let's chat. Welcome back to Holistic Moms. I'm so excited today because I have a special guest. This is a new friend that we have so much in common, and I'm so excited for you to hear all her wisdom on motherhood. So Charlotte, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm absolutely thrilled to be here.
Yes. And again, we just restarted because she is tuning from a very far away place. So tell us where you are tuning in from so that if we have any more glitches, it is totally understandable.
I am in Cape Town in South Africa, so I am far away and our internet does have issues. We are in a third world country, but hopefully it'll keep us going for the next half an hour or so.
Yes, we're okay. This sounds good now and we are just praying our way through it. So I'm so glad you're with us today. Can you just share a little bit about your family, what you do, and just a little brief bio?
Yeah, so I am married. I have two small children. I suppose they're still small. Sierra is 4 and Oliver is 6. We used to live in Zimbabwe and we moved to South Africa about 7-8 years ago because we wanted to have children in a country where my family lived and where we just felt like we could be a little bit more settled. And I used to be a personal trainer. I qualified as a personal trainer when I started up a small charity in Zimbabwe. Obviously, running a charity doesn't get you much money. So I qualified as a personal trainer. And we actually then moved to Mozambique, where I was thinking, what am I going to do when we come to South Africa? Because we kind of knew that that was the plan. And I realized how many personal training clients came to a personal training session and ended up just talking and, you know, often wouldn't actually get much exercise done. And I just started to think about this idea of coaching and life coaching and eventually well-being coaching and how our physical bodies and our emotional well-being, our social well-being, how they are all inextricably linked and we can't leave one without the other. And so I then qualified as a health coach. And I've had more and more clients coming to me who are working mums. I'm a working mum, and getting to the point of just how do we manage ourselves as working mothers in this busy, crazy, chaotic season of our lives? And actually, how can we do it so that we can enjoy it rather than it just being something that we've got to get through?
Yes. So as you can hear, she has a lot of wisdom experience and she's going to share all that. And we're going to get real deep and serious into all that stuff. So because that's where we're going, I want to start with something a little bit lighter. So I have this new idea of how I want to start the show and it's a very simple question, but I want to tell you where it came from. So since you're the first person I'm asking this question to, as we are in the podcast world and we have little bios that we fill out here and there, whether we're going to be a guest on someone else's show or just a bio on our website. I was filling it out and I put things that I love. And one thing that I loved that I thought about was I love not just laughing, but like a really good guttural laugh, like just comes from real deep. And it was funny because I actually have a laugh that I was made fun of for, but I didn't think of it as being made fun of. Like kids just really had fun with it because it sounds like a seal barking. It sounds so funny. And it only happens when I laugh super duper hard. Like, and as I was filling this bio out and I was like, I love when that happens, but when was the last time that happened? I can't even remember. I honestly think it might have been last New Year's Eve, maybe, with my family. I don't know. Like, that's my last memory. And so I'm like, this has to be, because this is something I love, I want to be intentional about trying to make it happen. So be around things that make you laugh. Do things with your kids that make you laugh. Like, kids are so funny. And I'm like, I have 4 comedians in my house. Like, why am I not laughing harder sometimes, right? So I want to start getting in the practice of having these deep laughs. So anyways, I want to start with, what has made you laugh lately that your kids have done?
I mean, they make me laugh every day, which is just so amazing. And I mean, sometimes they make me cry too, but
yes.
I just think that they say amazing things. So we have been in Zimbabwe recently. And I think that one of the things that jumps out at me when you say that, we were driving along and Zimbabwe is pretty broken. It's, you know, there are potholes in the roads and my son is quite, he likes things to be organized and neat and tidy.
Yeah.
And we were driving along and he had said to me, everything's broken here, Mum. And I thought, gosh, you know, that's quite a good observation. Anyway, we were going to visit some family friends, and I was explaining to him that they were friends of Granny and Grandpa's, and, you know, that we had grown up together. And he said, do you think that Granny and Grandpa are sad that they're not here with us? So I said, well, yeah, possibly, you know, they'd love to see their friends. And he said, well, I just don't think they'd like the state of this place. And I just thought, in a way, it was kind of poignant, but also funny. And for a six-year-old, I just was like, where did you come from? And he's quite right.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. I have a 4 and 6-year-old as well. And they do say the best things because they know so much, but then they also look at stuff with a very different perspective. So it's like with these fresh eyes. So I'm like, wow, that was really funny. Thanks for sharing that. That was fun. Okay. So into, you know, the serious stuff, but let's start with just your experience as being a trainer. And I know you are now a podcaster and a coach and have an amazing podcast where you are sharing all your experience, wisdom, knowledge with other working moms. So how did you get there? How did you get from point A to point B?
Yeah, it's been a journey, and it certainly has been a God-led journey. It was a chaotic journey for a long time. As I say, I went to university in London to do my master's, and did my master's in social development. And so I'd gone back to Zimbabwe to set up this charity. And people have always been, in fact, my husband says that people are my hobby. And absolutely they are. You know, I just, people and engaging with people and learning about people has always been the thing that I love to do. So I had set up this charity, and then I got my personal training qualification, which was quite a surprise, really, because in my youth, I didn't like exercise at all. And then I started rowing at university, and that kind of got me into an interest in our physical bodies and how they work. And then from there, just spending time talking to people and engaging with them past what was happening in their aesthetics, past what they looked like, past, you know, what they were doing in the gym, to what was happening in their lives. And then when we moved to South Africa, I did my coaching qualification and I became a qualified life coach. And post that, I was still really interested in the health coaching aspect of it. Like, why do we not look after our physical health? What happens to block us when we have all of these good intentions? And so what is the psychology behind the block to looking after our physical health? And the more I got into that, the more I was like, gosh, this is fascinating. And then I had my children. And so I had Oliver kind of part way through my coaching qualification, and I wasn't able to finish it at that point. But the thing that he taught me most was that I needed to be present, and I wasn't present, and I struggled with being present. And I had this baby who was requiring me to be present. I had these clients who were requiring me to be present, and I really wasn't. I was all over the place. I crashed cars all over the place. I did all sorts of things that I just was not here in this moment. I was always in the next moment.
Yeah.
And then so for me, it was a personal journey of getting to the point where I could be present and where I could be available to my children and to my clients and to myself. I got to know myself. I did this incredible journey of my inner landscape, which I had never really looked at before. Like, why did I feel certain things, and why did I behave in certain ways as a result of the way that I thought and felt? And yeah, I just really got to be much more accepting of myself as well in that stage. And from there, then I was able to be more present with my family, with my clients, and I started to see clients coming in with similar issues, but I was still running around, racing around, trying to do all the things. I thought I was going to be a corporate coach. And then I thought, I do workshops and talks. And actually last year, I did a talk at a big retail company in Cape Town. And I left there and I thought, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to share my knowledge and the things that I've learned and experienced with other people. And so I left there and I thought, I don't quite know how I'm going to do this, but I just said, you know, God, this is your path for me. I don't know where I'm going with this. But then someone said, would you like to, they didn't. They said, I think that you should start a course. You know, create a course, you can sell it online, it's passive. And so I started looking into that. And I can't actually tell you where it went from there, except that I saw this thing start a podcast and I thought, oh my gosh, that's it. That's what I need to do. I need to have a space where I can talk to people, tell them everything I know, and have the incredible privilege of spending time with people in their homes or in their cars or on a run or whatever the case may be. And hopefully having an impact for them somewhere along the line in how they manage themselves in their work, with their children, in their lives, so that they can find joy, so that they can be productive and be present and really just enjoy this season rather than waiting for it to be over to be able to enjoy their lives. So that was rather a long answer to your question.
No, it's great. And I have so many follow-up thoughts and questions. But I'll start with, so now you went into podcasting and are you still coaching?
Yes, I am. Yeah.
And what kind of coaching, since you dabbled in a lot of different things, what kind of coaching are you doing now?
So the coaching that I offer is called Balance and Boundaries Coaching. And we are looking at how do I support working mums to set boundaries and find balance in their lives, generally by working out why is it so difficult for me to do this. So my coaching process looks at developing awareness. What's going on for me? What are the stories I have in my head? What are my motivations? And then from there, what do I need? How would I like things to be different? And how do I choose to do things differently so that I can create balance in my life, so that I can set up boundaries that allow me to be productive and then allow me to be present, to be patient, to be calm, to get things done, to find that, then even more so find that balance that we're also desperately searching for. So yeah, yes. Balance and boundaries coaching. And it is, yeah, that process of awareness, process of choosing, process of then implementing those choices that we've made so that we can get from A to B.
Absolutely. Having courage, taking courage, and being intentional with our actions. Yes and amen. Okay, so as a working mom, though, do you have another full-time job?
So I have taken huge courage this year because I was working, working as a kind of admin assistant for somebody that literally paid the bills. And then I was working for my husband, who's also an entrepreneur. So I was wearing all of these hats. And again, one of the things I found was that I was not actually focusing on one thing and doing one thing intentionally. I was all over the place. I was trying to fit into too many different kind of holes.
Yeah.
And I decided this year to trust and to really be in my business, in my space, and to be excited about building the foundations of making an impact. And knowing that, you know, if I really just focus on one thing, then I'll be able to help more people.
So you're down to podcasting and coaching.
I am.
Wow, that is so courageous. And I know, because I know that's courageous, because I'm kind of in a similar situation where, you know, you get distracted by all the different things that you could do. But if you just stay the course to what God has in front of you and the path that He's guiding the light on, you have to just trust and obey. And it's hard to do, definitely hard to do. But so I Yay for you. I'm so excited for you. And I know you're already doing amazing things, and what you're putting out is impacting many people. So I can just not wait to see what really comes of it. So we're in, for all the you listeners out there, we're in the same course and in a same coaching program, and it ends really soon, I feel. And
Too
so
soon.
we're going to spread our little wings and see how far we can fly. And I think it's so nice to have other people that are in the same boat and in the same, they've been in the course the same time. So we can still support each other. Obviously, we're not going anywhere.
Indeed, indeed.
All right. So you said one thing that I wanted to expand on a little bit, because obviously presence and being present is something that you really wanted once you had your kid and you felt like your first kid and you felt like you were always a step ahead. You said, you were always a step ahead. And I feel like a lot of moms get that way. We have the mom brain of all the to-do lists, all the appointments, all the schedules that we're keeping track of. And there are practical ways that I've even talked about on my podcast of how we can get more present. But I find it's still a constant struggle. Sometimes my husband will, when we have a lot going on, we'll be in the same place and he'll look at me. And he'll say something and I answer, but he's actually like checking me. He's like, wait, are you really here? And I'm like, yes, right now, this time I'm here. I am present. I'm present in this moment. But he knows how I've been in the past and he knows that I am working on this. And so I'm like, gosh, you are such a intense accountability partner.
We
But
do need him, though.
we do need him. We do need him, but he definitely keeps me in check. Because guys, men can I do not like this word, compartmentalize. How do you say that?
Compartmentalize.
Yes, so much better. I struggle with that word. So much better than we can. And I also think it's because we have a lot more in our brain. So he's always checking me, like, how can you be here, but your brain's not? I'm like, well, if I could let you inside my brain, maybe you would understand. But okay, so tell us, how do we stay in the moment with the kid that's right in front of us? They have a situation going on and not think about dinner that's coming in an hour and then the errands have to come after that. Like, how do we stay right there?
I think a lot of it comes from what we think we're expected to do. So, like, I kind of feel like society says, oh, women are so good at multitasking. And so we think we have to multitask. And exactly that. Oh, men can't compartmentalize. So I shouldn't talk to my husband when I look at him looking at his phone because he's with his phone now, and so he can't be with me. And yet I think that because I'm a woman, I've been told that women multitask so well, I should be able to think about the dinner and be with you right now and all the things that I haven't done yet, and I think actually single tasking allows us to be more present. So how do we get to single tasking? I mean, one of the reasons that I've been able to give up all of these other things that I've been doing is because I had expectations in my head about what I should be earning, for instance,
Oh,
and
yeah.
what success looked like. So
Yeah.
success actually looked like a financial added value at home. And so I had all these jobs because I was like, oh, well, I've got to add value here, and I can't possibly, only coach and be a mum and not have a steady income. And so I was, and also make the dinner and also, do all the things. So we also think, and I can't ask for help for this because I'm meant to be the person who does all of this. And I've been told that I should be the person who does all of this. So what I learned was that this is actually where I'm adding value right now. If I'm with my child, he needs me right now to add value in this moment. And I just had to stop my mind from wandering. And the habit is that we let our minds go to all of those things. We let our minds go down the path of, oh, what am I going to make for supper? And maybe, oh, and I didn't actually take anything out of the freezer. And oh, now I've got to go to the shop. And so we just go down that path. And actually, if we stop ourselves and we say, I need to be present right here, right now, because this is important. And part of that stopping ourselves is also getting out of that panic of, oh, I don't have anything for supper. And what's he going to think about me because I haven't made the best supper? What are they all going to think about me because I haven't done whatever I thought I was meant to do? Mm-hmm. But actually, it's what am I going to think about myself because I haven't made the perfect supper or asked for help or whatever the case may be. So I have learned to shift into a space of calm so that I can choose what I think about. And if I find myself going down a rabbit hole of all the to-do lists, then I say, okay, yes, those things do need to be done. And then when I am in that space of doing those things, I can be productive with them because I know I've been present with my child.
Yes.
Or vice versa.
Yes. That's so good. Again, so many things coming through my head right now. But one thing that you said, you had said it earlier, and then you kind of readdressed it here. It was that a lot of our stress comes from these stories we have in our head, or I like to say lies that are in our head, and they're layers deep. They're not just on the surface, I don't have anything prepared for dinner. It's actually way deep down there. And I have been in that exact scenario where my dinner didn't turn out and it turns into a heart-to-heart crying situation with my husband saying, like, I'm not a good wife. Like, it is this lie that we're trying to live up to. We like believe this lie so much that we try to live up to it in so many different areas of our life. So, and like you say, stories, it's like the lie starts here and then it grows to something else and something else. Like we write these full-blown situations that are not even true. And it's like, where did that start? And we actually have to get to where it started to get it out of our life and to stop going back to this and to learn how to be present. We have to like take those lies out, dig them out of our root system and replace them with the truth. So I talk a lot about that and but you said take control of our thoughts. Like we have the ability to take control of our thoughts, but it all starts with that, whatever lie it is that you're believing, you're like letting your thoughts run with it. I love a book called Soundtracks by John Acuff. And he talks about this overthinking and he calls it a soundtrack because it's like we let the music just go and go and go and we never turn it off. And we actually have control to lift the needle. If you guys remember record players, lift the needle off and turn it off. We actually have the ability to do that. We have to be intentional with doing that. And like you said, recognize that this moment with your child is very important. It might not seem important to you. It might seem like the dinner is way more important right now, but when this child wants your attention, wow, like that's important. And I think for myself, I'll speak like I have a lot of kids and they're all needing attention. So it's like, well, how are all these moments so important? But they are. And that comes the responsibility of having multiple kids and you just have to deal with it. And that's the journey God has me on. He has me on this path with four kids that all need the same attention. They all need the same love and care and presence of their mom. So, and because he's blessed me with that, he will give me the ability and strategy and tools to make that happen. So I Love that. Okay, so you spoke to the present so well. I actually just released an episode on multitasking today. Actually came out today. And I love how you said we are told that we're supposed to multitask, so we do. Yeah, it's like I think that comes down to partly like who you are, like, you know, who you are that God made you to do in your time. Like, what blessings did he give you? What talents, abilities? And, you know, multitasking is like our brains literally just can't do it. So if we are trying to do all these things, it's like, wait, did God give you all of that to do right now? So I love how you spoke to all of that. And how do you help? Okay, we have all these things. We have all these lives. We have all these thoughts and stories, and they prevent us from being present. And they also turn into stress. So like we have this anxiety, this stress, this feeling, these feelings of how do I do all this? And I know I want to be more present. I know I need to work on these things. I need to work on these stories in my head. I need to do all this, but this is leading to me feeling that I'm still stressed out now that I have even more to do and work on. So how do we work on the feelings and side of it?
So that absolutely, that the first piece I think is around that awareness. And I think, you know, I look at children and children are not stressed by these things. Children have, okay, yes, they don't have the responsibilities perhaps that we have, but they have this wonder and this awe at the world. And we miss out on that because we are in this like hamster wheel of getting stuff done. And I think that what happens is we have this essence of this little child that comes into the world, and then we start to hear these stories, and then we create a survival strategy for ourselves. So if I'm going to get by, I need to behave in a certain way, or I need to think in a certain way and feel in a certain way and behave in a certain way so that I'm acceptable and I'm loved and I fit in and all of those things. And so we're all motivated, I believe. Our motivations are different. So I use an amazing tool called the Enneagram. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yes.
And what I love about the Enneagram is that Jesus is, so the Enneagram is 9 personality styles, and we are born with all 9 in us. And what I love about it is that it says that Jesus has all 9. He lives all 9 styles out perfectly. Mm-hmm. And if we are made in the image of God, then we have all 9 in us as well. But we end up defaulting to one particular style. Yes, there's a natural inclination, I think. I mean, you know, there's debate around this. But as a result of the stories that we've heard and the experiences that we've had, we default to a particular style. And that style determines what are our motivations in life. So like I'm a 7 on the Enneagram, for example. A 7, I don't want to be trapped. So actually sitting with my child is really hard, because being present with him is difficult because it makes me feel trapped. Mm. And so that's uncomfortable. That causes anxiety for me. I feel like, oh, I can't go and do what I want to do.
Yeah.
And so we are all get stressed in response to different reasons. That's why, like, I don't know if you find sometimes you look at someone else and you think, why am I so stressed? And you seem so chilled in this instance. And stress and anxiety come up for different people in response to different sources of stress and anxiety. And mostly it's in response to the internal source of stress, the story that we've got in our heads about a situation. So I've got all this stuff to do. I can either be like, oh, well, I've got all this stuff to do, but I'm so lucky to be in this moment, because I get to spend 10 minutes with this glorious child who loves me and wants my attention. Or we can sit in this, I've got so much to do. I can't believe I have to sit here. I'm feeling trapped by this. All I want to do is do the thing that I want to do. Or if we are a different type on the Enneagram, maybe it's that I've got to get this all done because it causes conflict if I don't, or whatever the motivation is behind the reason that it causes us stress.
Yeah.
And so to move out of that is to, first of all, understand why I'm feeling this and observe ourselves. Like, what is it that I think and what is it that I actually feel in my body in response to this to-do list? Do I look at the to-do list as something that needs to get done, or do I look at the to-do list as something that causes me panic? And what do I think about the list and about myself in response to that list? And if I don't get the stuff done, because some people can be like, oh my God, I forgot that the child had to wear a kitty suit to school. And I could be like, oh, I'm the worst mother in the world. I didn't dress myself in the kitty suit. You know, how we respond to the things that need doing are so different.
Yeah.
But we all get stressed. So we all have a response for a different reason. And it's getting to know, why am I, what is my reason behind my response?
Yeah.
And how can I shift out of that so that I don't feel panicked or upset with myself or stressed or anxious or that emotional state that actually in the end makes us more stressed and panicked because of that cycle of then we just end up doing other things wrong because of how we're feeling.
Yeah, let's take, since you brought up the Enneagram, let's take the motivation that we all have. We all have this situation and we all look at it differently. Let's take time, because I know that I'm an Enneagram one and so is my husband. But we both value time so, so much. It's said that Enneagram ones value time so much, but in different ways. And we get still this stress and this anxiousness about time in very different ways. And we both value it. It's like really, really high up there as far as like money, time, like it's up there. But for him, he looks at it like, you know, he wants to be on time places, which on time is early, and he doesn't want to rush to get there. And he, like, it all makes sense. Like, it's like, yeah, that makes logical sense. And I would like that too. But I value time so much that I want to not waste a moment. So if I'm in the middle of something, I want to go until the very last second and then move on to the next thing. I don't give myself a lot of margin time, if you will, because I want to suck out every moment from that one experience to move on to the next. And when things come up and throw curveballs and you have to be flexible with your time, I just think to myself, well, I'm good under pressure. I'll just wing with it and I'll go with it and I'll figure out my time from there. And I'm fast. So I'm just going to rush through that. Like, I'm just going to drive faster to the place I need to go because, you know, like I think about it differently. So take time, because we all have it. We all have 24 hours and it causes stress in different ways. And people are motivated by it in different ways. Like, I know the Enneagram and certain numbers that are very carefree and relaxed with their time. So tell us a little bit about that as far as moms, because we have to deal with time and lots of things to do in our little 24 hours.
Yeah. So if we think about the one, so the Enneagram one's motivation is to be good. So mm-hmm. if I am good, I will be loved. Mm-hmm. So your husband, if I get there on time or a little bit early, I'm good. Because I've done it right and I've got there on time and I'm good and that's acceptable. So somewhere along the line, he was taught that being on time was important and that would make him good. So for him, his relationship with time, the message he has around time mm-hmm. is something different to the message you have around time. You're like, I am going to make the most of this time, because the message I have about time is that I have a limited amount of time and I need to suck everything out of every moment. Whereas the message he has about time is we need to be on time because that means I'm good. Mm-hmm. Does that sound
right? Yeah, I'm being that I'm a one, I go towards seven in health. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh, I want to have all the fun and enjoy mm-hmm. all of this that I can in this moment. I don't like, leaving a moment that is really good, that is really fun. Like, he's like, Shannon, why are we always the last to leave? I'm like, because we're enjoying this time. I don't want it to end. So it is so funny. I feel like I am a one that like kind of likes to go over to seven a lot. And
it's healthy. It's good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's how I just keep telling myself. But yeah, so that's how I see it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so the motivation, like for an eight, time is money, you know, in some respect. And this is my time, and my time is very precious. And if you come into my time, that is disrespectful, might be the story that they have around time.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, a seven, exactly that. Like, I've got this limited amount of time and I need to get all of this stuff done because I want to have fun. And my fun time is really important. So I need to do all the things on my to-do list so that I can go and enjoy myself.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas a two, who's a considerate helper, might be feeling like, well, you know, everybody needs me. Everybody needs something from me. So you've got your time here, and mm-hmm. you've got your time here, and you've got your time here, because don't forget about that person who needs me over there. And I have absolutely no clue about what I need, but I'm out there and I'm doing everything for everybody else, and I can see what they need before they even need it.
And that's so a lot of moms.
And that's a lot of moms. And, you know, we take on this role of helper. And I also kind of feel like the story about mums is that you should be fulfilling all of these needs all yes. the time. And we have these little bosses running around telling us all the things that we should be doing.
Yes.
And so again, we have this story, like I should be able to fulfill all these needs. And if I'm not fulfilling all these needs, what does that mean about me as a mother?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the thing that comes from birth, you know, did you have a natural birth or did you have a Caesar? Did you breastfeed or didn't you? All these expectations, all these stories that we have about what it means to be a good mother.
Yeah.
And so then we struggle with time because we don't ask for help because of the story that comes with asking for help. I'm weak if I ask for help, or I shouldn't ask for help because then I'm not doing the best mothering. Or, you know, as you say, it's so deep and it's so multi-layered.
Yeah.
And, you know, to get to that point where we can then start to put those boundaries in place around time is massive. And part of it comes from shifting the expectation, or what I often work with people is, what is my perception of what their perception is of me? Because mm-hmm. we have a perception of what the world perceives us to be that's generally completely different to what the world actually perceives us to be.
And the only thing that matters is what God perceives us to be.
Completely. And, yeah. you know, one of the freedoms that I got that allowed me to go onto this particular journey was that I had in my mind all the expectations I thought my parents had of me to be successful in a certain way. So I was racing around, yeah. wasting time because I was in a panic to be successful before it was too late. And I was running around doing all of these things because I had an expectation of what they thought would be a worthwhile life. And then I went to see them and I had a conversation with them. And I said, you know, what is your expectation of me? What are your hopes and dreams for my life? And through that conversation, I was able to let go of this huge pressure that I had put on myself to be this person that was doing all of these things and all of the things.
Yeah.
Actually be able to bring my focus and my presence to this one thing and really do it well and properly, I hope.
That's so good. So you actually addressed your feelings. You had these strong feelings and you thought, hey, let me go have a conversation. First, let me probably address them in my own heart and with God. And what am I going to say to my parents? And then you went and put action to it. And you say, okay, these feelings are telling me something. God revealed to, you know, and now I need to have this conversation. And that led to more time.
Absolutely. Right?
So I actually am having a Find More Time workshop next week. And friends on this podcast already heard a an invite to it in the beginning. But the tagline is decrease your anxiety and create more time. Anxiety is a strong feeling that we feel in a lot of different ways. And we might not even always label it anxiety. We might label it stressed out. We might label it overwhelmed. We might label it just this angst that we feel inside. We might not put it as anxiety, but that's the word I chose for the tagline. But it's this concept of exactly what you're talking about. Decreasing these strong emotions that we're feeling so we can create more time in our life. And how we do that is what you did. You addressed the feeling. You took action. You took courage. Was that easy to talk to your parents?
No, it was.
Yeah.
For both parties. I mean, I think it was tricky. It was vulnerable.
Yeah. Yeah. And so vulnerability takes a ton of courage, as we know. And so anytime we can have like an intimate conversation with someone, that is courageous. And what do you do in these close, intimate conversations is you reveal your feelings. So it all comes down to that emotional regulation. That's your word. So share with us what you do to what do you help your clients do to have emotional regulation?
So there are a few things. One of the reasons that I think it's important to have emotional or to be able to emotionally self-regulate is that we as cavemen, we had these brains that worked a certain way, and we are no longer cavemen, but our brains have not developed as the world has developed. So where we used to come across a tiger in our paths and we got into fight or flight and we ran away from that tiger without thinking, we are faced with tigers every day, but they are financial stress or a boss who's shouting at you or parents who you think you should be something or children screaming or all of these things. And physiologically, our bodies respond in a fight or flight manner. Mm-hmm. And so in our physical health, we are getting diabetes because our liver has turned glycogen into glucose. We are getting heart problems because our heart is suddenly pumping to give us the oxygen through our bodies to get away from this tiger. We have high blood pressure. We have all of these illnesses, yeah, all of these physiological diseases that are coming as a result of being in a stress response all the time.
Right.
So we need to change our physiology. We need to shift out of that fight or flight response into a state of calm, into a more energy-giving state, because also being in that fight or flight response is exhausting.
Yeah.
So we are changing our physiology. And the first way to do that is to change the way that we breathe, because we also think that we need to take deep breaths. You know, people say, take a deep breath and you'll feel better. Well, you know, there are 12 elements to breath. And the first two elements that we need to focus on are actually the rhythm and the smoothness of our breath. So if we can change the rhythm and the evenness, should I say, so breathing in for four counts, breathing out for four counts, but smoothly, not like, but smooth rhythmic breathing, that immediately changes the electrical energy of our heart. Mm. And that changes the physiological response that we're having to this threat.
Yeah.
The reason that I believe it gives us more time is because when we are in fight or flight, we don't have access to our prefrontal cortex anymore. I love the idea that we give ourselves a DIY prefrontal lobotomy. We become toddlers.
Yeah.
When we are in that state, we cannot think clearly. We make mistakes. We drop things. And then we go back and we have to do it all over again. I mean, I think about leaving the house in the morning. You are flustered. You're frenetic. No one's getting in the car. Then you've forgotten your sunglasses, or you've forgotten your phone, or you've forgotten something. And then the child's forgotten something. And I mean, we all know this story.
Yes.
The more that we are in that flustered state, the longer it takes us to get to work. or to school or into the car. But if we are in a calm state, we can stand there, we can think logically, rationally. What do I need for today? What do the children need for today? I've got all of my things together. We can go and get in the car. We can all get in the car calmly because I'm calm. I co-regulate with my children, which means that they stay calm. The heart, the impulse of our heart reaches a meter outside of our body. So if I'm frantic and chaotic, my children are going to be frantic and chaotic.
Yes.
Or my team is going to be frantic and chaotic. My dog is going to be, I mean, the research shows how even animals respond. And that's often why that therapy with animals, they are calm and they help to bring us down. So breathing smoothly and evenly, four counts in, four counts out. And one of the things we can do is imagine we're actually breathing in and out of the organ of our hearts. So imagine that that breath is going in and out of the organ of your heart. Your heart, you know, if you think about the heart is such a positive, that's where the positive emotions come from. You know, I love you with all of my heart.
Yeah.
Or he played that game with all of his heart. The heart is where positive emotions live.
Yeah.
So if we imagine that we're breathing in and out of our heart, we can start to create a smoother pattern of that heart rate, which just allows us to get out of that fight or flight into a space where we have our prefrontal cortex back. We can make decisions. We can think clearly. And then we have more time.
We create more time. I love that. I feel more calm already. Oh, that was so good. So yes, I hope everyone wrote that down. Breathe slowly and four counts and calmly and picture it. If you need to like Google what a heart looks like, that might help. And actually you can Google like blood pumping through the heart, because I think that's what I've thought about that before. I didn't know it was really helping me. But they have this little graphic where it's like the red blood or the blue blood goes in and then it gets oxygenated and then it comes out and it's red and then it flows. So it's like, that's what's happening as your blood is circulating through your heart. And so that was so good. Okay. So yes, I'm having this workshop and that's what we're going to do is we're going to learn how to decrease our emotions and lower our stress level so that we can find that time, create that time, be more productive and calm all at the same time. So I love that you teach that too. I love that you coach that too. You're such a wealth of wisdom. Can you share with our listeners where they can find you?
Yes, absolutely. So my podcast is called The Managing Mum. That's M-U-M for mum in South Africa. Well, that's how I say it, but I know that a lot of people spell it M-O-M. So if you're looking for it, The Managing Mum podcast, which is on all podcast platforms. And my website is www.charlottehaggie.com, or I'm on Instagram and Facebook at Charlotte Coaches.
Okay. And I will put all those in the show notes as well if people didn't catch the spelling. But Charlotte, it has been such a pleasure. Thank you so much for sharing with our moms today of how they can manage their time more, manage their busy life with more presence and productivity. It has been so great. Thanks for coming.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been fabulous.
Hey, Wellness Warrior, I pray that blessed you. And if so, it would bless me big if you would write a 5-star review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts. Not only would this make me super happy, but it will allow for others to find this show too. Also, I love to chat over on Instagram, so make sure to take a screenshot, share to your Instagram stories, and tag me at the Shan Wright so I can see it and we can keep chatting and bring other moms to chat with us. Until we get to chat again, mama friend, may the Lord's face shine upon you and give you peace.